This is an extract from Ordeal by Innocence by Agatha Christie. Jacko Argyle dies in prison, convicted of murdering his adoptive mother, Rachel Argyle. Arthur Calgary, an absent witness in the original case, comes forward, providing Jacko with an alibi and clearing his name. Suspicions are then raised about the other members of the household. In this scene, Calgary meets with Dr. McMaster to learn more about Jacko and Rachel Argyle.
Dr. McMaster was an old man with bushy eyebrows, shrewd grey eyes, and a pugnacious chin. He leaned back in his shabby armchair and studied his visitor carefully. He found that he liked what he saw. On Calgary's side, also, there was a feeling of liking. For the first time almost since he had come back to England, he felt that he was talking to someone who appreciated his own feelings and point of view. "It's very good of you to see me, Dr. McMaster," he said.
"Not at all," said the doctor. "I'm bored to death since I retired from practice. Young men of my own profession tell me I must sit here like a dummy, taking care of my groggy heart. But don't think it comes natural to me, it doesn't. I listen to the wireless, blah, 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 and occasionally my housekeeper persuades me to look at television, flick, flick, flick. I've been a busy man, run off my feet all my life. I don't take kindly to sitting still. Reading tires my eyes, so don't apologise for taking up my time."
"The first thing I've got to make you understand," said Calgary, "is why I'm still concerning myself over all this. Logically speaking, I suppose, I've done what I came to do. Told the unpalatable fact of my concussion and loss of memory, vindicated the boy's character. After that, the only sane and logical thing to do would be to go away and try to forget about it, eh? Isn't that right?"
"Depends," said Dr. McMaster. "Something worrying you?" he asked in the ensuing pause.
"Yes," said Calgary. "Everything worries me. You see, my news was not received as I thought it would be."
"Oh, well," said Dr. McMaster. "Nothing odd in that. Happens every day. We rehearse a thing beforehand in our own minds. Doesn't matter what it is. Consultation with another practitioner, proposal of marriage to a young lady, talk with your boy before going back to school. When the thing comes off, it never goes as you thought it would. You've thought it out, you see, all the things that you are going to say, and you've usually made up your mind what the answers are going to be. And of course that's what throws you off every time. The answers are never what you think they will be. That's what's upset you, I suppose."
"Yes," said Calgary.
"What did you expect? Expected them to be all over you?"
"I expected," he considered a moment. "Blame? Perhaps. Resentment? Very likely. But also thankfulness." McMaster grunted.
"And there's no thankfulness, and not as much resentment as you think there ought to be."
"Something like that," Calgary confessed.
"Well, that's because you didn't know the circumstances until you got there. Why have you come to me exactly?"
Calgary said slowly, "Because I want to understand more about the family. I only know the acknowledged facts. A very fine and unselfish woman doing her best for her adopted children. A public-spirited woman, a fine character. Set against that, what's called, I believe, a problem child. A child that goes wrong, the young delinquent. Well, that's all I know. I don't know anything else. I don't know anything about Mrs. Argyle herself."
"You're quite right," said McMaster. "You're putting your finger on the thing that matters. If you think it over, you know, that's always the interesting part of any murder. What the person was like who was murdered. Everybody's always so busy inquiring into the mind of the murderer. You've been thinking probably that Mrs. Argyle was the sort of woman who shouldn't have been murdered. But I should imagine that everyone felt that."
"Ethically," said McMaster, "you're quite right. But you know," he rubbed his nose, "isn't it the Chinese who held that beneficence is to be accounted a sin rather than a virtue? They've got something there, you know. Beneficence does things to people, ties them up in knots. We all know what human nature's like. Do a chap a good turn and you feel kindly towards him, you like him. But the chap who's had the good turn done to him, does he feel so kindly to you? Does he really like you? He ought to, of course.
But does he?
Well, said the doctor, after a moment's pause, there you are. Mrs. Argyle was what you might call a wonderful mother. But she overdid the beneficence. No doubt of that, or wanted to, or definitely tried to do so.
That was an extract from Ordeal by Innocence by Agatha Christie.